Lord, help us not to be distracted this morning. Help me not to be distracted as I preach Your Word, Father. I pray, Lord, that Your Spirit would come upon me and that I'd be able to preach Your Bible, Father, with authority, with boldness. And Lord, I ask for the people that their hearts would be opened. Lord, that they would be willing to set aside their emotions or their preconceived ideas, and that they would just let the Bible change us this morning. Father, we love You. In Your precious name I pray. Amen. Alright, well, we're there in Colossians chapter number 3. And this morning, I'm preaching somewhat of a controversial sermon, I guess. You know, that's not really much different than anything else we do around here. But, I want to preach on a subject this morning that's very central to probably each and every one of us. It's a subject that's very important to all of us. And I unfortunately believe it's a subject that most of us in this world don't really understand. And the subject I want to preach on is the subject of music this morning. I want to preach on the subject of music. The Bible talks a lot about music. And I'd like you to understand what the Bible says about music. And really the purpose of the sermon this morning is to teach you how we determine what is right or what is wrong music. Oftentimes people will ask me after a service or something, they'll say, why is it that you sing the old hymns here at Berry Baptist Church? And you know, I try to explain to people and try to give them the information, but sometimes it's more than I can really give in just a few sentences. And I really want to teach you the reasons that we do the things we do and why we do them. And you ought to know why we do what we do, and you ought to know why we believe what we believe, and you ought to have an answer for the hope that is in you, like the Bible says. So I want to preach on the subject of music, and more importantly, how to determine what is right or wrong music. And we're there in Colossians chapter number 3, and I'd like you to look at verse number 16. The Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And I want you to notice the next few words. It says, teaching and admonishing one another. Point number one, as far as determining what is right or wrong music, is this. We must consider the sentence of the music. The sentence of the music. You say, what do you mean by the sentence of the music? Well, the sentence is this. A grammatical unit of one or more words. And when we consider music, the first thing we've got to consider when it comes to music, you say, what is right, what is wrong music, is this. What is the music actually saying? You say, well, why is that? Well, look at verse 16 again. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Now, I want you to understand something. The Bible is to be our authority, and the Bible is supposed to teach us what we believe. And according to the Bible says that we ought to teach and admonish one another. The word teach means you're learning something. The word admonish is like preaching. You're admonishing someone. You're giving them something. And the Bible says teaching and admonishing one another. But I want you to notice, it says in, notice the next few words, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Do you see that? The Bible says that one of the purposes for music is that as we sing songs, the words of that song will teach and admonish you and I. Do you know that one of the powers of music that music holds over us is the power of teaching us? Who's ever had a song stuck in their head they couldn't get out? You know, try to memorize them. You know, my wife and I, we try to memorize the Bible as much as we can, and we could do better at it. But you know what's the easiest verses in the Bible to memorize? The ones that are put to music. You know what I'm talking about? You know, there's all sorts of little songs that have been put verses that have been put to, be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ for God's sake hath forgiven you. Hey, that's easy for me to remember because it's to music. Do you see what I'm saying? That's a verse, by the way. I don't know if you knew that. But you know, music has this ability to just creep, you know, sometimes you're listening, you're at the store and there's music in the background, you're not even listening to it, and it gets sucked in your head. Why? Because one of the powers of music is the fact that it teaches and it admonishes us. So when we look at, you say, Pastor, what is right? What is wrong music? Number one, you got to understand what's it saying. What's the sentence of the music? Now, right there, right off the bat, and I'm going to give you way more points than just that, but right off the bat, we just disqualified all of the world's music. One verse. You say, well, why is that? Well, go with me. Keep your finger there in Colossians because we're going to be coming right back to it. But go with me to 1 John. and towards the end of your New Testament there. 1 John chapter number 2, and look at verse number 15. When you say all of the world's music, what are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about anything that's not Christian music. You say, well, why is that? Well, look at 1 John chapter number 2, and look at verse number 15. And you might as well just stick your bulletin here, because we're going to be coming right back to 1 John later on in the sermon. But in 1 John 2:15, the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Look at verse 16. Look what it says. It says, for, what's the next word? All. Do you see that? It says, for all that is in the world. That word all means all. That word all means everything. That, you know, all includes music. And by the way, all is bigger than music. This is a principle you might as well just learn in your Christian life. The Bible says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The Bible says, when something is of the world, it's not of the Father. And when something is of the Father, it's not of the world. And by the way, he sums it up and he says, by the way, here's everything that's in the world. You say, well, what is the world? Here's everything. This is all the world has to offer. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Right there, we just disqualified all worldly music. Tell me what the worldly music of today teaches people. As you listen to those words, what's it teaching you? Adultery. What's it teaching you? Fornication. What's it teaching you? Drug use. What's it teaching you? Rebellion. You say, are you against any certain type of music? I'm against all worldly music. I'm against the rock and roll music of today, which is satanic, by the way, which a lot of these rock and roll artists worship the devil. Their lyrics have to go against God and they mock God. I'm against the rap music of today. Bunch of cursing, a bunch of just, pride of life, you know, a bunch of lust of the flesh right there. You know, you say, well, I listen to country music. They talk about, I'm against country music. I'm against all of it. Why? Because look, the Bible says that all that is in the world is not of Father, but of the world. It's the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Look at a CD cover. You know, go, and I don't advise you to do this, but you know, if you were to go to a music store and you look at these CD covers. That's what they are. It's all women dressed immodestly. It's all women with short skirts and low tops and showing off their their nakedness, and they ought to be ashamed. You know, and that's what it is. It's all about money. It's all about, you know, why is it that you never pick up an album cover? You know, pick up an album cover. A CD cover of the most popular music today. Why is it, you know, these people, these artists, they take these pictures. Why is it none of them are smiling? You know, when you take a picture, don't you just smile? Say cheese. All these artists are... You know, why is that? You know, because it's pride. That's what it is. You know, it's funny, but that's what it is. Why are they... We're bad. You know, it's pride. You say, well, what, is it all pride? According to the Bible, it is. Look at what it says, verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And this music, you know, I've never been, praise God, I've never been to a concert in my life. But you go, you know, go to these concerts, what is it? A bunch of pride. These people are up there, thousands of people just, you know, worshiping them. You know, swaying their hands, singing their song, doing whatever they want. It's a bunch of filth. You know, no man, no woman ought to be treated like that. God ought to be treated like that. Mm-hmm. The Bible says, but see, here's the thing. The worldly music of today teaches nothing that a Christian should have. And the thing is, you say, well, I just like it and I'm not really listening to the words. Those words are sinking in. Those words are creeping in. You know, I hear parents say stuff like this. My child's depressed and they're suicidal. And you ask them, what music are they listening to? Well, they're just listening to, Marilyn Manson. Or what, is that the guy's name? I don't even know the guy. You know, the freak show with the white and all that, you know? It's like, well, yeah, of course they're depressed. They're listening to that guy. They're listening to Metallica. Yeah. That's what, they're going to be depressed. They're going to be suicidal. Because music teaches you. The Bible says, go back to Colossians 3:16. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's what music does. Music teaches you. And the music of this world, the words of the music of this world are teaching you rebellion. So right there, we disqualify all of worldly music. And you know, I really don't want to spend a lot of time talking about the world's music, because that ought to just be common sense. I mean, if you're going to sit there and argue with me that listening to Snoop Dogg is okay for a Christian, or listening to Justin Bieber, or whatever his name is, okay for, I mean, you got more problems than I can handle in a, you know, 55-minute sermon. I mean, good night. That should be pretty obvious that, you know, the world's music is not for a Christian. But the Bible says, let's go back to Christian music for a second. The Bible says that the purpose of music is to teach us and admonish us, right? Well, do you know that most of the world's music today is very vague and very weak when it comes on doctrine? See, the Bible tells us that music... Who's ever heard of the Book of Psalms? You ever heard of the Book of Psalms? Book of Psalms is the largest book in the entire Bible. Did you know that? Do you know that the Book of Psalms is a song book? You know how we have a hymn book? That, in the Old Testament, the Book of Psalms was their hymn book. In Hebrew, in the Old Testament, all these psalms in the Bible, they were put to music. They could be sung. Now, when they're translated to English, we can't really sing it. We can sing a lot of them, actually. We can't sing all of them. But the Book of Psalms, the largest book in the Bible is a song book. Do you think God thinks it's important to have music? To have good music? And think about, have you ever read the Book of Psalms? Read about the doctrine you read. And I mean, in the Book of Psalms, you read all about the doctrine of the Word of God. You read all about the creation, when God created the heavens. You read about the power of God. You read about the omnipresence of God. You read about praising God. You read about the history of Israel and the history of God's people. You read prophecies of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is so much doctrine. It's dense with doctrine. The songs that they were singing. It's easy to understand why God says, teaching and admonishing yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Music ought to admonish us. Music ought to teach us. There ought to be enough substance in music to teach us. But today, the Christian music of today is void of Bible doctrine. You say, why is that? Well, let me try to explain to you real quickly. But here's what you understand. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. And today, the contemporary Christian music of today is bent, the whole purpose of it is to make money. They're selling CDs. They're selling concerts. They're selling music. So here's the thing. If I'm going to write a song, let's say I'm going to make a CD. Okay? If I'm going to write music, I want to make it to be able to market it to as many people as possible. Well, how do you market a song to a Catholic and a Baptist and a Jehovah's Witness and a Mormon? Well, here's how you do it. You don't add any doctrine to it. You make it real vague. Something everybody, talk about Jesus loves you. You know, Jesus is cool, a cool guy. Something that everybody would agree with, so you can market it to the masses because you're trying to make money. You say, why do these people, why do they sing about Jesus? They sing about Jesus because there's good money in singing about Jesus. And look, I want to make sure you understand this. You know, the at Verity Baptist Church, we sing these old hymns. Praise God. And we sing these hymns because there's so much good doctrine in them. Because as you sing them, they teach you. They admonish you. You learn doctrine from them. And I picked out a few songs. I just want to show you, just to give you, because you know, it's easy for me to just say something and then you kind of go over your head. But I want you to see this. Take your songbook, if you don't mind, and go to page number 129. Let me just give you some examples of music that teaches and music that admonishes and music. Look at this song. This is one of my favorite songs in the songbook. Page number 129, Rock of Ages. Just listen to these words. And this is why I often tell people, when we're singing songs, don't just mindlessly sing. Think about what you're singing. Think about what you're singing. Look what it says. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin a double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. That's a good verse. Look at verse 2. This is the verse I like in Rock of Ages. Look what it says. Tell me if we can learn doctrine from this. Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no longer know? So he's saying, this is what the writer's saying. He's saying, if I could weep, if I could cry, if I could have this emotional repentance forever. He said, could my tears forever flow? He said, could my zeal, that's talking about working and talking about fighting and talking about having energy and excitement. He said, could my zeal no longer know? That means it never drops out. That means I just have zeal. He said, if I could be the type of person that has all this zeal and all this repentance and all this crying and weeping. Look what he said. Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no longer know? These for sin, look what it says, could not atone. Do you see that? That's Bible doctrine. You know what that just told us? Salvation is not by works. Well, I got all this zeal. It's not for sin, it can't atone. Look what it says. Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no longer? No. These for sin could not atone. Thou must stay, and thou alone. In my hand no price I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. That's good doctrine. Could they sing that at a Catholic church, though? At the Catholic church, they're telling you, hey, have a lot of zeal. Have a lot of water. You know, have a lot of tears. Bring a price. But the song in the hymn book says, in my hand, no price I bring. Simply to the cross I bring. See, these songs are meant to admire. See, we have a singing service at church. And you say, well, when the pastor's preaching, that's when we learn and that's when we sing. No, when we're having a singing service, you're teaching and admonishing because you're singing these songs and you're learning doctrine. I like that. Go with me to page number 139. Look at page number 139. Man, this is a good song right here. I know whom I have believed. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me He hath made known. Look at what it's saying. Nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for His own. Look at verse 2. I know not how this saving faith to me He did impart, know how believing in His word wrought peace within my heart. That's good right there. I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin. I like how our songbook uses Bible words. You know, the Bible doesn't say convicting. The Bible says the Holy Spirit convinces you. And it says, I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through the Word, creating faith in Him. Hey, that's good. Look at the chorus. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I committed unto Him against that day. Does that sound familiar? That's straight out of the Bible. That's a Bible verse right there. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. When we sing that song in church, you're singing the Word of God. Teaching and admonishing. Go to page number 143, just a few pages over. One of my favorite songs, Blessed Assurance. Look at this song. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Look what it says. Heir of salvation. That's you and I. You know what it means to be an heir? It means you're getting an inheritance. What's the inheritance you and I are getting? Salvation. Heir of salvation. Purchase of God. Born of His Spirit. Washed in His blood. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. That's good. Man, you can learn something from that. Compare that to the Christian music of today. I got here, I printed out some of the most popular Christian songs being used in churches today. And compare this doctrine that we just talked about. Compare the songs we just saw there. You know, we're learning about Jesus and His blood and the fact that He saved us from our sins. Compare it to this. Lord, I lift Your name on high. Who's ever heard that song before? Man, I've heard that my whole life. Lord, we love to sing You praises. Oh, I feel so spiritual. I'm so glad You're in my life. Does this sound... I'm so glad You're in my life. Compare that to, could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no longer know? These for sin could not atone. Thou must save and thou alone. Compare that to, I'm so glad. I feel like I'm listening to Barney or something. I mean, good night. This is the Christian music of today? I'm so glad You're in my... You came from heaven to earth. That's real deep. To show the way from the earth to the cross. Man, I'm hearing a lot of Bible doctrine here. Man, my son could tell you that. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. This is the Christian music of today. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Wow. Lord, I lift Your name on high. And then this is literally, I'm not exaggerating. You know, you sing that 1,800 times. Lord, this is what they do. I've never been to a contemporary Christian service. Praise God. But if you've been to one, this is what they do. Lord, I lift Your name on high. Lord, I lift Your name on high. Lord, I sing the same phrase 700 times like a mindless robot singing the same phrase over and over and over. Are you really admonishing yourself? Do you understand how that's a little different here? Go to page number 145. Do you understand that's a little different than page, it is well with my soul, page number 145. Look at the second verse. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and has shed His own blood for my soul. My favorite verse in this song, verse 3, my sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more, praise the Lord, oh my soul. You see how that's a little different than, I'm so glad you're in my life?
Yeah.
The purpose of music is to admonish and to teach and to preach to you. Go to page number 150, let me show you, I could do this all day. Look at page number 150. Page number 150. My faith has found the resting place. Look at verse number 3. Look what it says. My heart is leaning on the Word, the written Word of God. Hey, that's good right there. 9 chapters a day. That's what that's talking about. Salvation by my Savior's name. Salvation through His blood. My great physician heals the sick, the lost He came to save. For me, His precious blood He shed. For me, His life He gave. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that He died for me. Compare that to this. I don't even know how this song starts. I'm just going to... Listen to these words. When He rolls up His sleeves, He ain't just putting on the Ritz. I'm not making this up. This is what it says. There's thunder in His footsteps and lightning in His fist. The Lord wasn't joking when He kicked Him out of Eden. I feel like an idiot just me. It wasn't for no reason that He shed His blood. His return is very close. And so you better be believing that our God, who's ever heard this song, is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. That's what I'm saying. He reigns from heaven above with you know, whatever it says. That's the song.
Santa Claus?
No. Yeah, that's about Santa Claus. I feel like... I don't even know. These words, I don't even... My God is an awesome God. And you know, if I sat here and sang it to you, it's like... Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. Oh, now I change. Now it's our God is an awesome God. And then somebody else says, our God is an awesome God. And then it's like, He reigns from, you know, it just goes on and on and on. Look, the music of today, you say, Pastor, why do you sing the old hymn? Because they have doctrine. Because they have teaching. Because they admonish. Because they teach. Because they say something. Look, hey, I agree. Our God is an awesome God. But there's more to God than just being awesome. Okay? That doesn't offend anyone. That clicks with everyone. Everybody, you know, a Mormon could sing that, a Jehovah's Witness could sing that, a Catholic could sing that, a Baptist could sing that, a Lutheran could sing that, anyone could sing that! Not everybody can sing these. That's why they're not being sung everywhere. Look at page number 153 in your songbook. How firm a foundation. How firm a... Just listen to these words. I don't even know what to point out in it. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent word. What more can He say than to you He hath said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled, in every condition, in sickness, in health, in poverty's veil, or abounding in wealth, at home and abroad, on the land, on the sea, as your days may demand, till your strength ever be, when through fiery trials thy path shall lie, my grace is sufficient shall be, thy supply, the flame shall not hurt thee, I only design thy dross and consume, and thy gold to refine. Look at verse 4. And down to old age all my people shall prove my sovereign, eternal, unchangeable love. And when hoary hairs shall their temples adorn, like lambs they shall still in my bosom be born. We preached all on eternal security last Sunday night, remember? Look at verse 5. The soul that on Jesus hath leaned to repose, I will not desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no never, no never forsake. Isn't that good? Amen. You can learn doctrine from that. You know what I learned from that? Eternal security. Will God ever forsake you? No, never. No, never, no never, no never. You know what I learned from this? God's awesome. Well, that's nice. But we need doctrine. The purpose of music, my friend, is to admonish you, is to teach you, is to show you. You think I'm done? Go to page 162. I love these old hymns. 162, look at what it says. 162, to God be the glory. What am I saying? To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go. And hey, praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give Him the glory, great things He hath done. Look at verse 2. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer, the promise of God. Look what it says. The vilest offender who truly repents of their sins. Is that what it says? Who truly feels really bad. Is that what it says? Who truly believes. You see how that matches up just fine with the Bible? Look at what it says. I love this. That moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. When you get saved in a moment, according to this song, when you believe, Pentecostals can't sing that. They say salvation is a step. First step, second step, third step. It's a process you go through. Jehovah's Witnesses, all these, you know, you're Catholic. You get catechized. You go to the confessional. You do your first whatever. Oh, first you get baptized when you're a baby. I forgot that step. You know, you do all these steps. Hey, that they can't sing this. Because why? Why can't they sing this? Because of doctrine in the song. Why can they sing this? Because there's no doctrine. There's no teaching. There's no admonishing. There's no, you know, here, let me give you another song. This is a popular song. Lord, I lift Your name on high. Who knows that song? Lord, I love to sing. Oh, I just feel so in the Spirit. I'm so glad You're in my... Oh, wait, we already did that one. Let's see. Oh, here's the one I want to go. I don't even know how this song sounds. I can only imagine... Let's go to that one. What it will be like... I can't do it. My wife makes fun of me. I can't sing like a liberal because I'm a hair-legged man. I'm not effeminate, so I don't do it right. But, you know, if I was a little sissy like these girls, like, you know... My wife and I, we were watching... Because preparing for this sermon, I wanted to figure out what are the most popular Christian songs today. So we're on YouTube, and we're watching these people sing this song. I'm watching a group of five men, and they're all up there. I can only imagine. Look like a bunch of feminine queers. With them. Oh my goodness. No, they look like they're making love to the microphone. It's really disgusting. You're laughing, but that's what's happening in churches right now. I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by Your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when Your face is before me. I can only imagine, I can only imagine. Surrounded by Your glory, what will my heart feel? Or I don't even know how it goes. Will I dance for You, Jesus, or in honor of You be still? Will I stand in Your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Compare that to page number 263. Oh, what a Savior that He died for me. From condemnation He hath made me free. He that believeth on the Son, saith He, hath everlasting life. Hey, that's good. Does this sound like a Bible to you? Verily, verily, I say unto you, verily, verily, message ever new. Amen. All my iniquities on Him were laid. All my indebtedness by Him was paid. All who believe on Him, the Lord hath said, hath everlasting life. Through, though poor and needy, I can trust my Lord. Though weak and sinful, I believe His word. Oh, glad message, every child of God, hath everlasting life. Though all unworthy, yet I will not doubt. For him that cometh, he will not cast out. He that believeth on the good news shall have everlasting life. Hey, I like that. I like that a little better than, I can only imagine when that day comes when I find myself standing in the sun. Good night. What is that teaching you? No, I know you like it. I ask if you like it. I ask, what's it teaching you? Because the purpose of music is to admonish and to teach. The Bible says, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Look at page 264, that's a good one, once for all. Free from the law, O happy condition. Jesus has bled, and there is remission. Cursed by the law, and bruised by the fall. Grace has redeemed us once for all. I mean, that sounds like Sunday night preaching. That sounds like something I was preaching just a couple weeks ago on soul winning. Cursed by the law, hey, that's what the Bible says. And bruised by the fall, but hey, praise the Lord. Grace hath redeemed us once for all. Once for all, O sinner, receive it. Once for all, O brother, believe it. Cling to the cross, the burdens will fall. Christ hath redeemed us once for all. That's good. Now are we free? There's no condemnation. Jesus provides a perfect salvation. Come unto me, O hear his sweet call. Come and he saves us once for all. Children of God, I like that. O glorious calling. Surely his grace will keep us from falling. Passing from death to life at his call. Blessed salvation once for all. So how do you determine what is good and bad music? Here's how I determine it. What's it saying? What's it teaching? Or maybe the question we should be asking is, what's it not saying? What's it not teaching? These songs are not sung by the average church in America today, because the average church in America doesn't agree with a lot of the doctrine in these songs. But these songs, no doctrine. Generic. Shallow. I can only imagine. Lord, I lift your name on high. This is the stuff that is, you know, said to be Christian, God's people's music today. I gotta ask you a question. Why am I not learning anything from it? Why is it not teaching me? Why is it not admonishing me? I said point number one, how do we determine what is good music versus bad music? Number one, we determine it by what it's saying. The sentence of the music. The Bible says that you have to admonish. Admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Teaching and admonishing, that's the purpose of music. That disqualifies all of the world's music. Because we don't need the world teaching us their lust of the flesh, their lust of the eyes, their pride of life. But you know what? That disqualifies most of contemporary Christian music. Because we don't need contemporary Christian music watering down the gospel, watering down the doctrine. Do you want to come to Verity Baptist Church and be preached a very shallow, very, you know, lame, very undoctrinal, unscriptural message? You say, no, I want to learn the Bible. Well, guess what? We do that while we're singing too. That's why we do it. So I said, number one, we do it because of the sentence of the music. Number two, we do it because of the sound of the music. The sound of the music. I didn't say the sound of music or whatever. You guys think of some musical. I said the sound of the music. You say, what are you talking about? Well, here's what you got to understand. Some people believe, and the contemporary Christian movement of today advocates this. They'll say, music is amoral. You say, what does that mean? Amoral means not involving question of right or wrong. Without moral quality, neither moral or immoral. Having no moral standard, restraint, or principles. Unaware or indifferent to questions of right or wrong. Amoral means it's not right or wrong. And today Christians will say, well, music is amoral. Music is not good or it's not bad. It's just music. And what makes it good or bad is the words that you add to it. Now, I would say to that, that that's not true. You say, well, why not? Well, let me explain to you. Let me just show you a few things in the Bible. Go with me to 2 Kings, chapter number 3. 2 Kings in your New Testament. 2 Kings, chapter number 3. In your New Testament. 2 Kings, chapter number 3. They say the words aren't... The words is what makes it good or bad. So you can have any music as long as you add the right words to it, and that makes it good music. And what makes it bad music is having bad words. But let me explain to you something. Music, when I'm talking about music, I'm talking about the actual sound. Not the words being sung, the actual notes being played. Music, in and of itself, is not amoral. There is a such thing as good music, and there's a such thing as bad music. Let me prove it to you. Go to 2 Kings chapter number 3. Look at verse number 13. 2 Kings chapter number 3. Look at verse number 13. Look what the Bible says. 2 Kings chapter number 3, verse 13. We find here a story where there's three kings. King Jehoshaphat, King Ahab, and the king of Edom. They're in this battle together. They really shouldn't be because they're two bad kings and one good king, King Jehoshaphat. But they're in this together. It looks like they're ran out of water. Looks like they're going to lose. They're going to fight. And King Jehoshaphat says, you know what? We need to ask God about this. And he said, is there a man of God, is there a prophet that can tell us what we should do? And they said, well, there's Elisha over there. Elisha's a good prophet, amen? Good man of God. Said, Elisha over there, who ministered to Elijah, you know, they said he poured water on his hand. Hey, he's over there, maybe he could help you. Look at verse 13, 2 Kings chapter number 3, verse 13. And Elisha said unto the king of Israel, what have I to do with thee? Get thee to the prophets of thy fathers and to the prophets of thy mother. So he's talking to the bad kings. He said, get away from me. He said, get to your own prophets. Look, but then he says, and the king of Israel said unto him, nay, for the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. And Elisha said, as for the Lord of hosts, as the Lord of hosts liveth before whom I stand, surely, were it not that I have regard that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah. So he's saying, look, the only reason I'm even talking to you is because of Jehoshaphat, because he's a good king. He said, I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah. He said, I would not look toward thee, nor see. He said, I wouldn't even look at you if it wasn't for Jehoshaphat. Look at verse 15. But now, he says, but because Jehoshaphat's here, I'll help you out. And look what he says, but now, bring me a minstrel. Let's talk about an instrument. And it came to pass, when the minstrel played, now notice, this is instrumental music, no words, just music. When the minstrel played, that the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, thus saith the Lord, and he began to prophesy. See, music is amoral. Music is neither good or bad. It just depends what words you add to it. Well, in this passage, we see that Elisha said, hey, bring me some music. They played some music, and he said, I'll help you out, but I need some music playing so the hand of the Lord come. And he said, play me some music. And as he began to play some music, the hand of the Lord came upon him. You think that was good music or bad music? It's probably good music if the hand of the Lord, the Spirit of God, comes upon you. Let me show you another example. Go back to 1 Samuel, chapter number 16. 1 Samuel, chapter number 16. Look at verse number 14. 1 Samuel, chapter number 16. Look at verse number 14. 1 Samuel 16, 14. In 1 Samuel 16, we find the story of Saul. King Saul is not right with God. God removed the spirit from King Saul and gave him a spirit that is troubling him. Not a demon, but a spirit from God that's troubling him. And Saul's having these problems. Look at verse 14. 1 Samuel 16, 14. The Bible says, but the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. You see that? And Saul's servant said unto him, behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player of an harp, and it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. So he said, look, you got an evil spirit from the Lord, let us find someone who can play some nice music, and that'll help you out. Skip down to verse number 23. Make a short, long story short, they found David. You know, David, before he killed Goliath, before he was a king. And in verse 23 it says, and it came to pass when the evil spirit of God from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. Notice, just music. No words, just music. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. You see that? You think David was playing good music or bad music? Let me give you a hint. David wrote most of the book of Psalms. I think it was good music. And we see here that when this bad spirit is troubling Saul, David comes and plays, doesn't sing. I'm trying to show you something. People, music is amoral. It doesn't matter. Just the words we put, you know, if we sing about Jesus, then it's good. If we don't sing about Jesus, no. Music in and of itself can be good or bad. We see here examples where the music would be played and the Spirit of the Lord would come. The music would be played and they'd be refreshed. And by the way, just so you don't think I'm advocating what's going on here, look at 1 Samuel 18. Look at verse number 10. Because the problem that Saul had was that he wasn't right with God. And they tried to band-aid it by listening to music. And look, having music, having the right music, hey, praise the Lord for it. But Saul didn't need to listen to music. Saul needed to get right with God. That's what he needed. And in 1 Samuel 18:10 it says, and it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, so this kept happening to him, and he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand, and Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it, and David avoided out of the presence twice. Do you see that? So eventually, it rubbed off. David, he gets an evil spirit, David plays, he feels refreshed. After they do that a few times, eventually it doesn't work, and he has a javelin, and he tries to kill David. Say, why? You can't put a band-aid on your sin, okay? The problem with Saul wasn't that he needed to get good music. The problem with Saul was that he needed to get right with God, okay? I want you to understand that. But I want you to know that the music brought the rest. The music brought the hand of God upon Elisha. Let me show you an example of bad music. Go to Daniel. Towards the end of your New Testament. Daniel, chapter number 3. Daniel, chapter number 3, towards the end of the Old Testament. Excuse me. Daniel, chapter number 3, look at verse 5. Daniel chapter number 3, look at verse 5. Pastor, we liked it when you were singing. Now all this Bible. Hey. Back to normal. Daniel chapter number 3, look at verse 5. This is a famous story. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember the story? Daniel chapter 3, verse 5 says, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet. Now let me explain what's going on. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, has made a statue and a huge idol of himself. He brought all the governors and all the people together and he said, you're going to worship this image of me. He made a statue of himself. He said, you're going to worship that. Now, is that good or bad? Obviously, that's bad. And in verse 5, he says, look at what he says, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, all kinds of music. Notice, these are all instruments. He's saying, when you hear this music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. You see that? He said, when you hear this music, I want you to worship the king. Look at verse 6. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. And if you know the story, you know that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to worship, and they got cast into the fiery furnace, and Jesus Christ met them there, and you know, that whole story. Praise God. But I want you to understand something. The contemporary Christian music of today would have us to believe music is immoral. The music in and of itself isn't good or bad. It just depends what words you're using. So this is what they're trying to say, okay? The music that was being played here in Babylon, when they were supposed to worship Nebuchadnezzar's idol, if that same music was being played for Elisha, the Spirit of the Lord would have came upon him. Do you think that's true? No. The music that was being played in Babylon was bad, worldly, idol-worshipping music. The music that David was playing was powerful, godly music. That's why the Spirit of the Lord responded the way he did. That's why the Spirit, you know, the troubling spirit departed from Saul and he was refreshed. Why? Because music is moral and music is immoral. Some music is good and some music is bad. And don't fall for this idea, well, the music in and of itself doesn't matter, it's just the words. The words do matter, I agree. The words ought to be teaching and admonishing us, but the music itself also matters. Go with me to Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12. Say, Pastor, what are you talking about? This is what the Christian music movement of today says. Music is amoral. Music is either bad or good. Romans in your New Testament, if you can find the New Testament, you got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and Romans. And the world today, they say music is amoral. It's either good or bad. It just depends what words you put to it. Well, we just proved that from the Bible. That's absolutely wrong. But you say, why do they teach that? Here's why they teach that, okay? Those people will say, well, yes, the rap music of today is bad. Because it talks about drugs and sex and alcohol. But we can take the same rap music and add the words of Jesus to it, add Christian lyrics to it, add, you know, rap about Jesus, and now all of a sudden that music is okay. Wrong. Period. Because music is not amoral. Music can be good and music can be bad. Some music can have the Spirit of God descend upon you and some music can have you worshiping an idol. Look at Romans chapter number 12. Look at verse number 1. And you might as well just learn this for your Christian life. Look what it says. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Look at verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The Bible says in verse 2, be not conformed to this world. You know what the word conform means? You see how the word, in the word conform, you see the word form? The word form means, conform means to pattern yourself or to shape yourself. You know, you ladies will do these sewing activities with my wife, you know. And what do you do when you're sewing something? You just get a piece of cloth and start cutting, and I think it's going to look like this. I mean, you can do that, but it's going to look really bad. What do? You get a pattern. And you put that pattern, and you follow that pattern. See what I'm saying? And the Bible says, you know, that we are not to take the world as our pattern and conform ourselves to the pattern of the world. Look, we're not supposed to take the world's garbage, the world's rap music, the world's rock music, the world's soft rock music, add the name of Jesus to it, and all of a sudden we got Christian rock, Christian rap, Christian contemporary soft rock, Christian gospel, Christian, you know, honky-tonk, trying to be, you know, country music. That's wrong. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world. So, you say, how do we determine music? Number one, by what it's saying, the sentence. Number two, but how it sounds. If you've got music that sounds like it's trying to conform to this world, it's wrong. Period. No, at Verity Baptist Church, we don't have gospel music. We don't have Christian rap. We don't have Christian rock. We're not trying to have something that's conforming to this world. We're not trying to be like this world. The Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world. Our music ought not be conformed to this world. Our music ought to be different. I said, number one, how do we determine good or bad music? We determine it by the sentence of the music. Number two, we determine it by the sound of the music. Number three, we determine it by the source of the music. And by the way, let me just give you this example, just in the last point. I said this before, but I gave this example before, but I'll say it again. I had a friend when I was working at Wells Fargo before I joined the military and all that. And I had a friend there, who an acquaintance, or just someone I worked with, who was a Pentecostal, and he was a nice guy, you know, not saved, but he was a real nice guy. But he was telling, you know, he went to this church, and he was really heavy into rap music. I mean, he was all thugged out, you know, and he got, you know, went to God or whatever, and started going to this church and started living for God. But he didn't want to, like, it was hard for him to leave that old lifestyle. So the pastor said to me, hey, you don't have to leave that old lifestyle. You can still be, you know, all ghetto and look like a thug. And you can have your rap music. Now you just have Christian rap. And he said, oh, okay, that's cool. So he got rid of all his rap music. He got Christian rap. You know, and he got rid of, like, the old baggy clothes, and he got new baggy clothes from the Christian bookstore or something. I don't know. And it was, you know, just transferred. Okay, worldly, now I'm Christian. But, you know, he eventually got rid of all of it. And he told me this story. And he said, you know, I used to hang out with this real bad crowd. I ran with the gangs. And my friends were all on drugs, selling drugs, and all this bad stuff, you know. And he said, I gave all that up, and I came to Christianity, you know, and I started listening to Christian rap, and started doing whatever. And he told me this story, and it so impacted me when he told me this. He said, one day I was driving down the street in my neighborhood, you know, and he had a real nice car, you know, all fixed up, whatever. He said, I was driving down the street, and then I came to this stop sign, or it was a red light is what it was. And as he stopped at this red light, he said this family started crossing the street. And he recognized the family because he'd been trying to witness to them. They were from the neighborhood there, and they knew him from a little kid. He'd been trying to witness to them, trying to get them to come to church and whatever. And they started crossing the street, and he saw them, and he recognized them. At that same moment, another car pulls up next to him, and it's his old friends. Now here's the thing. He's blasting his rap, Christian gospel, whatever, and they're blasting their Snoop Dogg and whatever. And he said, at first he was trying to get their attention, but then when he realized that, he was almost trying to avoid them, and the person, the little lady, you know, with the kids or whatever, she sees him, and they wave at him. And he said, I was so embarrassed. He said, and I said, well, why were you embarrassed? He said, because they couldn't decipher that I was listening to Christian rap and they were listening to worldly rap. He said, we're all listening. It sounded like the same trash. He said, I look like them. I act like them. I listen to the same music. Like, if you waddle like a duck, if you quack like a duck, if you look like a duck, I'm not a duck. No, you're a duck. Period. Said, well, so we're never having Christian rap? No, we're not having Christian rap. Oh. Sorry to break your heart. We're never having Christian rock and roll? No. Never having country Christian music? No. What are we having? To God be the glory. I don't really hear anybody trying to imitate that in the world. I never really turn on the radio and hear that played. And by the way, I don't turn on my radio to listen to music, period. But we must be different. So we know number one by the sound, or number one by the sentence, number two by the sound. Number three, we decipher if music is good by the source. By the source of the music. Remember, I told you to keep your bulletin there in 1 John. Go back to that. 1 John chapter number 2. Look what it says. 1 John chapter number 2. Look at verse number 15. 1 John chapter number 2. Look at verse number 15. Look what it says. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. You know that there's no gray area with God? The Bible, according to this verse, and according to the rest of Scripture, everything on planet Earth is either of the Father or it's of the world. There's no such thing as, well, this music is neither. It's not of the world or it's not of the Father. No, it's either of the Father or it's of the world. And not just music, anything. Every time you sit down and watch television, ask yourself, is this of the Father? Well, I watch good things on TV. You know, yeah, okay, so there's a homosexual on there. Oh, okay, so they went, you know, they're fornicating in that, you know, in that movie. Oh, okay, so they're blaspheming the name of God. No, if it's not of the Father, let me tell you something, it's of the world. According to the Bible. And the Bible says, love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. That's what the Bible says. So we got to determine not only the sentence, not only the source, not only what it's saying, but or not only the sound, but we've got to determine the source. Where did it come from? The contemporary Christian music of today. You go down to a Christian bookstore and you say, I'm going to buy myself a Christian CD so I can listen to Christian music in the car. Let me ask you something. Is the person who sings that song at the Christian rock concert today, do you think that's a King James only, soul-winning Baptist? You know, I'm telling you, they're not. That music is written by all sorts of different weird beliefs people out there. And when you sit down to listen, let me tell you something. When you sit down to listen to a song by a Pentecostal, you're being taught by a Pentecostal. You're being taught by their doctrine. You're being admonished by... That's Bible, my friend. The Bible says that's the... When you sit down to listen to... I don't even know who... You know, when I was a kid, when the popular boy bands were NSYNC or something, you know, Backstreet Boys. I don't even know what it is today. But when you sit down and listen to that, people, you're sitting down to have them teach you, admonish you. That's what the Bible says. So we must consider the source. Who's writing it? Where's it coming from? Because if it's not of the Father, it's of the world. Let me give you a perfect example. I heard somebody say this. I thought this was a perfect illustration. See, if you're only basing it on what it says and how it sounds, but you're not basing it on the source, you could get mixed in with a lot of bad music. You say, what are you talking about? Here's a perfect example. I heard my good friend was preaching this, and I heard him say this, and I thought, that's such a good example. Who's ever heard of this song? Yesterday by the Beatles. Who's ever heard of that song? And when I was growing up, it was Yesterday by Boyz II Men or something, you know, because they're Beatles or a long time ago. But Yesterday by the Beatles. You know, someone would say, well, what's wrong with the song Yesterday? You know, listen to the words. The words aren't bad. Yesterday, right? All my troubles seem so far away. Now it seems as though they're here to stay. Oh, that's nice. Oh, I believe in yesterday. What's wrong with that? Nothing simple about that.
He believes in yesterday.
It's a cappella, right? They sing a cappella. The music's not bad. What's wrong with it? Let me tell you what's wrong with it. It was written by a bunch of communist devils called the Beatles. That's what's wrong with it. It came from worldly people. You know that John Lennon, at the height of their fame, John Lennon said, "We, the Beatles, are more popular than Jesus Christ." You know they said that? And these communist devils, the most popular rock and roll band of history, brought their trash from England to the United States and brought the rock and the drug and the hippie rock culture. That's what's wrong with it. That's what's wrong with the song. Well, there's nothing wrong with the music and the words. It's a bunch of worldly, ungodly devils. That's what's wrong with it. The same people that say, you know, imagine that there is no heaven and no hell and no God and no religion. The same trash that sings about adultery and fornication sang that good song. You must consider the source. Where'd it come from? You know, but it's clean. No, where'd it come from? I said number one, how do we determine what's good or bad music? We determine it by the sentence. Number two, we determine it by the sound. Number three, we determine it by the source. See, you listen to the fundamental Baptists of today, they'll try to say, well, what's wrong with music, what determines what's good or bad music is whether or not they're using drums. The syncopation. You know, that's a bunch of trash. You know, we're never going to have a drum set up here, and we're never having some electric guitar up here, and none of that trash. I'm against that too, but that's not how you determine whether it's good or bad. You determine by where it comes. Is it of the Father? Or is it of the world? Because if it's of the Father, the Bible says that things will bring forth after themselves. If it's of the Father, you know, if you sing of the Father, you're going to sing about the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. You're going to sing doctrine. Number four, and this is probably the most important point right here. I need you to get this. I need you to understand this. I said we determine it by the sentence, we determine it by the sound, we determine it by the source. Number four, we determine it by the spirit of music. The spirit of music. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor? Go with me to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. Look at verse number 18. Ephesians chapter number 5. Look at verse number 18. Ephesians 5:18, the Bible says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." That's a command, by the way. The Bible commands us to be filled with the Spirit. Now, if I were to tell you, be filled with the Spirit, wouldn't you imagine being filled with the Spirit means like preaching some powerful sermon, or going out soul winning, or doing some great act of faith towards God? But notice what he says. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Do you see the semicolon? That means verse 19 has to do with verse 18. He says, be filled with the Spirit. Here's how you get filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Do you see that? See, according to the Bible, you say, Pastor, I'd like to be filled with the Spirit. Here's how you get filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing God's music will help you be filled with the Spirit, according to the Bible. Now go with me. With that in mind, go with me to Ezekiel chapter number 28, towards the end of your Old Testament. Ezekiel, you got the book of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, and you got Ezekiel. Look at Ezekiel chapter number 28. Look at verse number 13. Ezekiel chapter number 28. Look at verse number 13. In Ezekiel, we're given the first part of Ezekiel 28. It's talking about a physical man, the prince of Tyre. And it's given a judgment against him. But in verse 11, the Bible often, in these Old Testament passages, will use an analogy, or it'll speak in a metaphor. It'll give an example of one thing while speaking of another. And in verse 11, we continue to speak about the king of Tyre, but I want you to notice, we really begin to speak of the king of Tyre in another picture. Look at verse 11, it says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying..." So notice, from verse 1 through 10, he's been speaking about the king of Tyre. But in verse 11, he says, "Moreover." So he says, you know, adding to what I've already said, because we're going to begin talking about something. He says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus. I'm sorry, I keep saying Tyre, but I meant Tyrus. And say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Now let me ask you a question. Do you think the man, the king of Tyrus, was in the Garden of Eden? No. Let's have some Bible trivia. What were the three characters that were in the Garden of Eden? Adam, Eve, and who? Satan. That's what we're talking about. Say, well, why is he called him? Because at this time, the king of Tyre rules that nation. And really, you know, in the world, you know who rules the world? Satan. Say, well, no, it's president this, and it's president. No, it's Satan. The you know, we read that verse often. Spiritual warfare. Talking about, you know, powers and principalities and powers. Spiritual wickedness in high places. Look at verse 13. We're talking about Satan here. Look what he says. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, topaz, and the diamond. The beryl, the onyx, and the jasper. The sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of Tabris and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherub. You say, what's a cherub? It's a form of an angel, a beast on earth. He said, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. And I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned, therefore. I will cast thee as profane out of the mountains of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. We're talking about Satan. See, Satan was an angel. In other passages, it tells us he was an angel of light. His name was Lucifer, which means light. He was one of the main cherubs up in heaven. But I want you to notice something that you may have not known about Satan. Look at verse 13 again. It says, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, topaz, and the diamond of beryl, the onyx and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets, the word tabrets is referring to a musical instrument, and of thy pipes, referring to a musical instrument, like an organ, you know, it's got pipes. It said, the workmanship of thy tabrets and thy pipes was prepared, notice the next two words, in thee. In the day that thou was created. Do you know that the Bible teaches that Satan is a musical being? Literally, in his body, God created his body as an instrument. It says, in your body there was tabret and there was pipes in thee. Satan was in charge of the music and the praise of God in heaven. And because he lifted his heart, because he said, I will be above God, I will, you know, and he wanted to be like the Most High, God cast him out, and we know the story there. But let me tell you something. Satan majors in music. That's what he does. His body is an instrument that sings music. You think Satan might have an influence on the world's music today? I think he might. I don't think he's, you know, if that's his strength, I think he's going to have an influence on the world's music if he creates music from his body. The Bible says in Ephesians, be filled with the Spirit of God, you know, singing song, you know, I'm going to misquote it now, just you get up here and you forget everything. Ephesians 5:18. It says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Let me tell you something. Remember, it's either of the Father or of the world, right? There's no greater of God. Music is spiritual, but you got to understand this. All music is spiritual. All of it. And you can either sing praises to God and be filled with the Spirit, or not. Go with me real quick. Let me show you another verse. Go with me to Psalms. You're there in Ezekiel. Go back in your Bible to Psalm 22. Psalm 22. Psalm 22. Look at verse number 3. It's a very interesting verse. Psalm 22, verse 3. Psalm 22, verse 3. Look what the Bible says. Psalm 22, 3, the Bible says this. Psalm 22, 3, it says, "But thou art holy, O thou..." By the way, this is God who we're talking about. If you look at verse 2, it says, "O my God." If you look at verse 1, it says, "My God, my God." And in verse 3, it says, "Thou art holy, O thou, that inhabitest the praises of Israel." You see that? You know what the word inhabit means? It means to abide in. It means to live in. The Bible literally says that God inhabits the praises. The word praise is talking about praising God, like singing to Him. Like, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. The Bible says when you and I praise God through music, God literally inhabits that music. He inhabits the praises of Israel, is what the Bible says. Let me tell you something. That's the music of the pop. I gotta ask this question. Then who inhabits the music of the world? All music is spiritual. All music is spiritual. You say, "Well, I just like to listen to the Beatles. I just like to listen to whatever. It doesn't matter. I like to listen to..." I wish I knew more of these songs. I need some of you worldly people to help me out. You say, I like that. Well, here's the thing. When you listen to that music, who indwells that music? All music is spiritual. All music is spiritual. There's no gray area. Well, this isn't good or bad. This isn't of the Father. No, it's either of the Father or it's of the world. You say, "Pastor Jimenez, what do we do?" If you can stick with me for just a few more minutes, let me show you a couple more verses. You're there in Psalms. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 31. 2 Chronicles chapter number 31. 2 Chronicles 31. I want to show you a principle in the Bible that if you take it and you apply it in your life, it might revolutionize your life. You know, often as a pastor, I'll preach sermons out of the Bible, and people will say, "I believe that, Pastor." But they leave it right there. "I believe that." And then you never act on it. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 31. Look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now when all this was finished, all Israel that were present went out to the cities of Judah." And look what it says. "Break the images in pieces, and cut down the groves, and threw down the high places, and the altars out of all Judah and Benjamin and Ephraim, also in Manasseh, until they had utterly destroyed them all. Then all the children of Israel returned every man to his possession into their own city." I want to submit to you that in the Old Testament, when these people were worshiping idols, and they were worshiping in groves, and they had all these images, and when they got right with God, and when they say, "God, you know, we were wrong. That was sin. That was wrong." They didn't take those idols and those images and said, "Well, let's put them up in our attic in case we get backslidden." That's not what they did. The Bible says they took those things and they destroyed them and they got rid of them and they said, "That's sinful. That's wrong." Let me show you another example of that. Go with me to Acts chapter number 19. He says, "Well, that's the Old Testament." Okay, let me show you New Testament. Acts chapter number 19. Look at verse 18. Acts chapter number 19, look at verse 18. Paul comes into Ephesus, preaches great sermons, gets many people saved, and it says, "And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed." You say, "Pastor, what should I do with my... I've got Metallica's greatest hits. I've got Nine Inch Nails, all the albums. I've got, you know, all of Elvis Presley and, you know, whatever, I don't know. Whatever you got. What do I do with it?" Destroy it. Take a hammer to it, throw it in a fire, get rid of it. You say, "Well, I'm going to put it on eBay and I can make some money." Why? So somebody else can listen to it? Why? So somebody else can take that trash and worship the devil as they're listening to the world music? The Bible teaches this principle, and you do good to get a hold of this truth. If when the Bible tells you that something is wrong, and the preaching of God's Word, you know, teaches you that from the Bible, and the Holy Spirit convinces you of it, and you say, "Wow, that's wrong," get rid of it. Now, I think it's funny. I'll preach a sermon about dress standards, and ladies will come up to me and say, "Pastor, you're so right. I never saw that. Women shouldn't wear pants," and blah, blah, blah. And you say, "If you don't even know what I'm talking about, just get the sermon. I don't have time to go over it." And they know what they'll do. They'll take those pants and they'll, "Well, I'm just going to put them in the bottom drawer." Just get rid of that stuff. Get rid of the music. Get rid of the trash. Don't say, "Oh, we're going to stop watching all these filthy DVDs, all these R-rated movies, and we're just going to put them in the closet because, you know, we spend a lot of money on those, and if we ever get back to it, I don't have to buy all those." That's what you're thinking. That's what you're thinking. Well, if I ever get back to it, I spend a lot of money on them. See, when you take those CDs and you destroy them, you commit. And you say, "You know what? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord."
Amen.
You say, what should we do, Pastor? Get rid of it. Destroy it. Now look, at Berry Baptist Church, we have no rules. We don't force anybody to do anything. I could care less what you do. I praise God you're here. But if you're asking me, what should we do? Burn it. Destroy it. Get rid of it. The Bible says, you know, touch not the unclean thing is what the Bible says. Well, what am I going to do if I don't have music to listen to? You know, I had all these verses. I'm not going to go through it right now. But let me put it the way that our world likes to put things today.
What would Jesus do?
No, really, what would Jesus do? Because, you know, people lived thousands of years without an iPod. Pastor, hey, I have an iPod. I have no music on my iPod. What do you have on your iPod? The Bible and preaching. Amen. You know, the world lived thousands of years without a CD player, without AM, FM radio, without a television, without people today saying, "Pat, you don't have a TV? What do you do all day?" I don't know. What did Jesus do all day? They had conversations with their families. They spent time together. You know, you say, "What am I going to do without music?" Here's something you do. Don't go to these, but Ephesians 5:19, these are verses we looked at today. You notice how it said, "Speaking to yourselves in song and hymns and spiritual song." Colossians 3:16 said, "Singing with grace." Hebrews 2:12 said, "In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto him." Matthew 26:30, Jesus with his disciples at the Last Supper, they sung an hymn. Psalm 43:6 says, "Thou hast, you know, put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our Lord." Psalm 89:1 says, "I will sing with my mouth." You know, remember we were talking about those verses last week? "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord." You say, "What am I going to do when I'm driving down the street? I don't know. Grab a hymn book and sing praises to God. Sing to God. Praise God." You know, I love my children. Just earlier today, earlier this week, Tony and Jennifer said, our kids are running around the house singing songs. You know, that's what my kids do all day, singing songs. We're driving down the street. My wife, you know, I have to go into the store, and I sit in the vehicle with the kids, and my son was like, "Daddy, let's sing a song." And I said, "What song do you want to sing?" And he said, let's sing, what was that song? The Psalm 23 song. I can't think of it now. You know how it comes to me, but the... I'm not going to be able to forget it. But he wants to sing song. And here's the thing. Here's what I'm trying to explain. You know that naturally kids, they're all like, "Daddy, can you put in that CD so we can listen to it?" You know what kids like to do? Sing. What does God want you to do? Sing. Sing. Praises to God. That's why we don't come to church. You know, by the way, we don't come to church and have a rock concert here where you sit for 45 minutes and watch somebody else get up and sway their hips and sing and entertain you. You say, "Well, what do? We all sing. A congregation. We come together. We sing. We sing praises. In the midst of the church, will I sing praise unto him?" Say, "Pastor, I'd like to get up here in the pulpit and sing." Well, you can sing from right there. We're all going to sing. We'll all sing. Let's take our hymn books and sing and praise God and admonish and teach each other. Doctrine. So how do we know what's good or bad music? You know by the sentence. You know by the sound. You know by the source. And you better know the spirit. Because all music is spirit. All of it. And if you're not worshiping God, I'm telling you right now, you're worshiping the devil. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Thank you for our church. And Lord, I understand that a sermon like this might be a little hard to swallow sometimes. But Father, we preach the Bible today. I believe we have pleased you today. And Lord, I ask that you'd please bless our church people. Lord, help them to grow. And those who would maybe not like this type of sermon, saying, "I don't like that, I don't want to give it up, I don't want to do it," I pray that your Holy Spirit would move their hearts, Lord. No one should be forced to worship God. It should be a choice we all make. And I pray you'd help those who may struggle with this to say, "I'm going to serve God." Now look, if they want to do it or not, doesn't matter to me. We still love them here. But help us to understand how to have good or bad music. We love you, Father, in your precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen.